This WBEZ podcast is supported by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in up to 40 currencies with only a few simple taps. Download the Wise app today or visit wise.com. Terms and conditions apply. Be smart. Get Wise.
Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. House Republicans are proposing roughly $300 billion in cuts to SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. And if this legislation moves forward, states will then be on the hook for paying at least 5% of those benefits starting in 2028. Now, last year in Illinois, nearly 2 million residents received SNAP benefits. And the Greater Chicago Food Depository's Man Yi Lee tells our Reset program they served more than 2.5 million households during that same time, and demand is growing.
We have been managing so far with having to step up our fundraising efforts, as well as we are securing more food donations from retailers and food manufacturers than we ever have done, so that we can rescue a lot of food as well.
Lee says the burden falling on state funding could force them to reduce the amount of people who can receive benefits and leave states in difficult financial positions. The nonprofit Reparation Stakeholders Authority of Evanston says it has raised $1 million. My colleague Araceli Gomez-Aldana reports that money is going to the group's Reparations Community Fund. The organization RSAE is separate from the Evanston Reparations Committee. That group is funded by cannabis sales and a real estate transfer tax. Now, RSAE says the money was collected in April thanks to efforts of more than 15 local interfaith congregations and hundreds of individual donors. 3 years ago, RSAE set out to raise $1 million, and it wanted to promote deep internal reflection and acknowledge the faith community's past roles in systemic harm. The organization says the Reparations Community Fund was created to support Black residents in Evanston who have experienced the enduring effects of discrimination. A former Chicago priest with several accusations of child molestation says the newly elected pope signed off on moving him to a monastery in Chicago that sits next to an elementary school. The Sun-Times reports James M. Ray was restricted from public ministry in 2000 and needed a place to live where he wouldn't be a threat to the public. Ray says the Augustinian order, it was led by Pope Leo XIV at the time, accepted him at St. Johnstone Friary in the Hyde Park neighborhood on Chicago's South Side. That friary is less than a block away from an elementary school. Sun-Times reporter Robert Hergus says the Augustinians dispute this, saying it was the Archdiocese of Chicago that forced the move.
But whether it was the Augustinians or the Archdiocese, nobody apparently alerted the school or neighbors or anybody else in the area to the presence of an accused child molester. And this is now raising new questions about the current pope's handling of this crisis, which has been going on for decades.
Ray was never convicted of a crime, but was laicized in 2012. And it was a busy opening weekend for the WNBA with record-breaking performances and ratings as the league's stars shine. The game between the Chicago Sky and Indiana Fever drew an average of 2.7 million viewers. That made it the most watched WNBA game on ESPN platforms. New analysis by WBEZ and Chalkbeat shows about 25,000 Chicago public school students were absent for more than a month last year. And today, our Sarah Karp takes us to one high school on Chicago's South Side, where a new principal is trying to tackle this staggering problem.
Some days last year, Carmilla McKeon never got out of her pajamas.
I'd just be waking up and be like, I really don't want to go to school.
She'd tell her mom that she had a headache or a stomach ache, and then spend the day watching an endless loop of YouTube videos in her room, surrounded by posters of Korean pop stars.
It felt draining with nothing to do, but at the same time, it was like, to me, it felt more draining going to school.
And while Carmilla didn't even really know why she'd fallen into such a funk, she also didn't have much pulling her to school. No sports, no clubs, no classes she thought were especially interesting.
I feel like nobody pushed me to come to school. I didn't push myself. And sometimes I just felt like there wasn't a reason for me to come to school.
Carmilla missed more than half of last year. She's part of a dramatic rise in absences among CPS high schoolers. The number of students missing at least 35 days has nearly doubled since 2019. Carmela ended her junior year at Farragut High School, worried she wasn't going to graduate. But when she showed up at Farragut last August, she found the new principal determined to convince her and other students to come to school regularly.
What's with the in and out today?
Yes, store time.
I get you.
You got 10 minutes before you're supposed to be in your first class.
You want me to get yourself from the store?
No, thank you. What you need? You already got a bag.
Principal Varag Nanavati stands outside Farragut's front door every morning. He's not just wrangling kids. He's making sure they know they're important. Nanavati only took over Farragut a year ago. A former assistant principal, he knew attendance was a problem across the district. But what he found at Farragut was a full-blown crisis. So many classrooms were full of empty desks. People told him the pandemic and its aftermath were to blame. The community around Farragut experienced more death, more sickness, more unemployment than other places. And students had to work or take care of siblings. Some, like Carmela, struggled emotionally. But Nanavati saw a bigger problem, a loosening of standards and a devaluing of showing up.
We had kids coming in 12:30 during their lunch period, have lunch with their friends, and then they would leave.
He loves to tell the story of the cell phones. Before he took over, students had to put their cell phones in a locker during class. But
the lockers were on the wall. When kids just wanted to go home, they would just take their phones and go home.
So this year, Nanavati rolled the cell phone lockers into the main office. At least then, students would have to explain to a staff member why they were leaving. But when he told parents, they complained that students who had to leave early would be penalized and delayed.
I told them if your student have jobs that require them to leave early, let us know. We'll have a permission slip. Not a single person has signed up. So we keep making exceptions for all these situations when they're not actually happening. And so I think we've just relaxed so many expectations for students, assuming this and assuming that. But kids just needed more structure.
Other changes this year were a mix of sticks and carrots. The grading policy was much stricter, but also perfect attendance for a week earned a pass to a game room during lunch. Yet a truth applies to schools and really anywhere. You show up where you feel you belong and are seen. To that end, every student was paired with a staff member who checks in twice a week. Carmela got Bethany Cooper Nelson.
How are you?
On this spring day, Principal Nanavati and Cooper Nelson are waiting for Carmela when she walks up to school.
Hello, it'll come to me.
I was like, okay, very classic student.
She didn't show up for a credit recovery class this morning. Cooper Nelson is what's called a student support specialist, and Carmela is one of her charges. The two head up to a small office where they go over assignments before Carmela's first class. They also chat about a romance novel series they both love. Carmela's dark brown hair is dyed pink, and she's shed her pajamas for a very 80s look of ripped blue jeans and an off-the-shoulder sweatshirt. She grins ear to ear when Cooper Nelson talks about how much she's improved. Like other Farragut students, her attendance last year was dismal. This year, it's about 80%.
Crazy drastic change. And that hasn't, you know, gone without, like, your efforts. And
I was shocked when I saw my attendance from junior year. I was so shocked that I was like, I'm
in Carmela leaves the office this morning. She runs into the person she says made the biggest difference getting her to go to school this year. Ariana, a fellow senior. They greet each other with giggles.
I genuinely remember us becoming friends, me saying a word to her, her saying a word to me, and from there on, we were friends ever since.
I said it was in Guzman, and you insisted.
It was in Guzman.
They like each other because they can talk about problems at home and at school, but also descend into goofiness and just laugh and laugh. Ariana wants to go to college and get a business degree. Like Carmela, she's faltered in classes. But this is her senior year, and she made a plan with Carmela.
Because we have to wake each other up because we come to school together. We're each other's motivation.
When Ariana called Carmela this morning only to find out that she was late for that credit recovery class, she gently scolded her.
You need to get your work done, and you need to lock in and finish it.
But then they made a plan to walk to school together. stopping at the corner store for popsicles, which is part of their daily routine, no matter how cold it is outside. Carmela still doesn't know what she wants to do after high school, but she's hopeful about the future. She wants to find a purpose in life, find something that she's good at, maybe even see the world. But most off, she wants to find a place where she belongs. Sarah Karp, WBZ News.
And you can read more about the surge in student absences in Chicago public schools. Just head over to our website, WBEZ.org. Weather, breezy, showers and thunderstorms today, high in the mid-50s. Showers continue tonight with a low in the low 50s. And Wednesday, more rain, a high in the mid-50s. Sunshine finally returning in time for the weekend. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labas. Thank you for listening.